Praise the Lord. As you're getting your Bibles, turn into the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Amen. Say how good it is to see each and every one of you today. Amen. Good to have Sister Reed and the boys with us this morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glad that they're here today. Amen. But good to see each and every one of you as well. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 4. And we're going to read a couple of verses here today. Number 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Praise God. I don't really have a title here this morning. Amen. So give it whatever you desire today. I just want to preach to you today what I feel in the Spirit this morning. God of heaven, we love you and we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace and for your strength today. I pray, God, that you would come down and that you would cause a spirit of revelation to come amongst us. Help us, O Lord Jesus, as we take this word and we begin to apply it to our hearts today. I pray, God, that we could see, that we could envision, that we could understand and know, God, what it is that your word is impressing upon us and dealing with us about here today. Help us, O Lord Jesus, to take refuge in that, God. And as we apply it to our hearts, giving you praise and thanks, we worship you and magnify you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's love him this morning. Hallelujah, Savior. We praise you and magnify you. We exalt you and we lift you up today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, let the high praises of God be in your mouth. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We adore you, we glorify you, Jesus. There is none that is like you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God, amen, amen. And God bless you and you may be seated today. I took the opportunity, the privilege to cut short my text here this morning, even though I was in need to read much more, and because you cannot just take these scriptures that we have read today, and you can get them and you can get from them, but you cannot understand them fully by just taking them alone in themselves. And so to be able to understand the fullness of it, we have need to understand what the writer here is writing about. And we know that according to Hebrews chapter number 3, God is reality, that he is speaking of the Old Testament going down into Egypt and bringing them out with a mighty hand. And so I want to read a little bit to you today, Hebrews 3, verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. Amen. And And so the Lord, we know that according to 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We know that the Lord is inspiring the writer here to write concerning an issue, concerning a problem that was going on in that day and time. Obviously, it is applicable in this age, and even so much the more. But as I am under the persuasion that Paul wrote it, but and so I'll just speak in that wise. But Paul writing here, he would say, in the next chapter, he would say, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, that we would come short of it." In other words, just as it was in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were wandering around in a wilderness and they murmured and they complained and they were not able to obtain the promise that God had for them, Paul says, let us be careful now. Let us walk with fear and in honesty, and lest there be a promise that is left of us that we would not be able to obtain it, that we would not be able to enter into that rest. Praise God. And so he is letting us know that the story that has been brought up is not just a story that is to be told from the Old Testament, but it is a lesson. It is a schoolmaster, the Old Testament, a lesson that we could learn of, that we would take heed, that we would glean something from it, even more than Mother Goose. And but it is the shadow and the substance of the substance that was to come. And so we know that the story here in the Old Testament is a spiritual parallel that we can relate to even here in 2022. It is a rest that is unlike any other that we can obtain. Amen. This rest is for whosoever will. Just as it was in the Old Testament for the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, that he made that. And we would see that there not only would be the children of Israel that would come out of Egypt, but there would be strangers that would follow along with them and go out of that land. Amen. And we also understand that Egypt is a type of the world. Amen. That it is a type of bondage, that is a type of sin and iniquity. And Egypt stands for everything that the enemy stands for. Praise God. Everything that the enemy would try to bind you with and to overcome you with, that is what Egypt would stand for. And so Paul writing here, under the inspiration of God, he begins to speak and say some things that we need to reapply, that we need to restate in this day and in this age. As he says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Now, here is the catch, and that he states, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. That God would choose a man of God to stand and to preach, to manifest, to utter the mind of God unto the people of his affection. And we can go into the Old Testament and we can see the different prophets that were there that were able to represent the mind of God. There was Samuel, there was Isaiah, there was Jeremiah, the major prophets. There were the minor prophets that were raised up even for such a time as that, for one cause. But they were to speak Many of them were to speak for one time to God's people and to cause them to repent and to turn. But we would see that even Jonah would be used to go and to preach unto a nation that was not an heir of God. They were not of the children of Israel, just Gentiles. And Jonah went and he preached, and an entire nation repented of their sins and put on sackcloth and ashes. And God withheld the judgment that was there because the people that heard the word mixed it with faith, and they were obedient to the word of God. Amen. They had a revelation. They had a firm belief that this man that is preaching to us now, representing the mind of God and telling us that judgment is well on the way if we do not repent. We feel that it behooves us to repent of our sins. We feel that it makes the best sense to be obedient to what this man of God is saying. And so we are going to repent of our sins, and everybody is going to fast, and everybody is going to honor this, and we're going to do this from the king's house all the way down, and hearing the word of God and mixing the word of God with faith. We see that the wrath of God was turned off of Nineveh, and God spared that city so that it could continue on. And when we see these things of people responding to the word of God, we see good things take place. We see good things happening. Amen. And in some cases, we see a rather dramatic work and way from the preacher as God began to deal with his people. Amen. That God would even cause some of the men of God to seem utterly foolish in order to attract the attention of those that he is trying to reach. How else do you explain a man by the name of Hosea taking unto him a prostitute to be a wife? And can you imagine, amen, if the man of God, amen, came in as a single individual and married a prostitute, and what the church would think to themselves? Amen. Everybody would be looking for another church very quickly, and rightfully so, but God chose this to represent the land and the nation of Israel, in how that they were living in a prostituted life, being called the people of God, but yet fellowshipping and being married unto the world, and how that they were back and forth, and was represented even through Gomer, of how that she would run, or Hosea would bring her back unto him, and then she would leave and go away, and God said, this is exactly, amen, the reflection, the picture of my people. And through that, he was able to get his point across and began to call the children of Israel back into relationship with him. We see that a man by the name of Jeremiah would pull out all of his hair. Amen. And as a pastor, I can kind of understand what he was going through. And you may think that I've been pulling out my hair. Amen. It's just falling out. Amen. But there were things that happened, and there was even Isaiah who took off all of his clothes and ran through the streets naked, trying to get somebody's attention. Amen. And sometimes people wonder why that the preacher has got to be so demonstrative, or why the preacher has to be so intense, why the preacher has to be, amen, the way that he is. Why can't he just sit back? Why can't he just take it easy? Why can't he just take a chill pill and calm down a little bit? Amen. But the Lord lets us know through all of this, amen, that the situations that we are dealing with are dire situations. Amen. They are not just important situations, but oftentimes
times they are situations of emergency. Amen. That if the word of God is not able to prick the heart. Amen. If the preaching of God, amen, is not able to crush the carnal outer shell of humanity. Amen. That surrounds the heart. Then the word of God is not going to be able to affect the heart like it needs to be effective. Amen. I believe that any preacher would be able to stand up here and begin to give example after example of those that the preached word of God was able to affect. And I remember being in a revival in Louisiana, and a young man that was recently out of prison had come, and he had sat right on the front row in a skinhead gang, and the preaching of the word of God was able to pierce his heart, and that young man made his way to an altar and began to weep and began to cry tears of repentance, and God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But at the same time, how many could we speak of and say that we gave it our best and that we preached everything that we felt and knew, and yet the people continued to sit there? Many of them even nods their head up and down in agreement, understanding, or at least pretending to understand what is going on. And yet, through the conviction, through the heaviness of preaching, through the church rallying around, amen, it just does not affect them. I remember preaching in Washington in revival there, and we had called for a deliverance service, and that Friday night there were tons of people that showed up. There were sinners all over the house of all different ranks, and that night there was a lady that came down to the altar when I gave an altar call, and she came down to the altar. She manifested different spirits the night before in her mannerisms and in her ways, kind of like voodoo, and she came and stood right in front of the pulpit that Friday night, and I just thought to myself, amen, the biggest ones come first. And the pastor and I got there, we began to pray for her, and tears flowed down her cheeks, and as we prayed for her, God, I'm going to say, he renewed her in the Holy Ghost. We did not know that she was a backslider from many, many years ago, amen, but she had become involved in things that she should not have. But God renewed her that night in the Holy Ghost. And for several minutes, some 40 to 45 minutes, she stood there with tears running down her face. Amen. With her son holding one hand as they danced before the Lord, and she spoke in tongues the entire time. Less than 24 hours later, that woman had went out to meet eternity. And I never heard what it was, just some type of a natural death that happened, amen, but she went out into eternity less than 24 hours. I'm telling you, there is a need for preaching. There is a need for intense preaching, amen. There is a need, amen, for pressure, amen, for dogmatic preaching. There is a need, amen, for preaching in this day, effective preaching in this day. Why? Amen. I'm glad that you asked me so I can tell you. It's because there is an enemy that is on the other side that knows that he has but a short time in order to deceive the very elect. And he's working overtime, doing everything that he can to try to get you to trip and to stumble, to try to get you to falter and to fail. Amen. And those that you have seen that have talked in tongues for years seem to have washed away and backslid. Others that have come decided not to come. And those sinners that come in so enveloped by worldliness and carnality and pride, amen, that it's hard to reach them. It just seems like, Brother Worth, in the day and the age that we're living in, nobody really needs Jesus. They would like Jesus if they didn't have to change, but they're happy in the way that they're living. They're happy in the way that they're acting. They're happy with everything that is around them. And I might cry Jesus if it meant that I didn't have to change. But yet there's a preacher that is saying, come out from among them. If you're going to be saved, you need to do it today. Amen. Just as Hebrews said, amen. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts in provocation. Amen. And a promise is being offered unto you. I'm here today to tell you, today is your day. Now is your time. Right now is the appointed time for you to be saved. Oh, let's love him this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God knows the secrets of man. God knows not just the secrets of man, but God knows your eternal clock. God knows the time frame of your life. For the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. There is an appointment that God has got set. Amen. There is an appointment, amen, that God has. And then there is this thing called life that all of us go through, that all of us have to live in. But none of us know, amen, what tomorrow holds. Amen. Even in Hebrews, as he stated once before, amen, that we would say, if the Lord willing, amen, tomorrow, if the Lord willing, amen, because tomorrow isn't always promised unto us. Amen. We have got an appointment, and today you've got an appointment with God. You've got an appointment with an altar. Harden not your heart, but let faith come into your heart. Let faith change your life. Let faith resurrect inside of you. Let faith reach out. Let faith have her perfect work in you. And let God do a work in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I think that even within the past several weeks, in the past couple of months, we have seen the fickleness of life. Amen. The fickleness of life. And I'm not here to preach a morbid message. Hang with me today. But I just want to show you reality. Amen. It was just a little over a month ago, and I was on a Sunday morning preaching, and I mentioned to Sister Kenda the goodness of God, that God had mercy upon her and drew her and brought her back into the house of God. Less than one year, amen, she walked out into eternity. Amen. And that was on a Sunday morning. Wednesday night, she was in church. Thursday, she was back in the back, a part of the fundraiser. Friday, we saw her. Saturday, some of you talked to her, and by Saturday night, she was gone. And so we realize these things, that it happens. It happens. I just reading the news a little bit yesterday. I don't oftentimes dig into the news and go out. A lot of times I'm just a headline reader. I just read headlines and move on and move on and move on. And I guess I'm under the understanding that some NFL quarterback I don't know how good he was. I don't think he was really that great, but kind of a backup deal. But 24 years of age. 24 years of age, amen, and walked off and out into eternity yesterday morning. Praise God. And you go down to the graveyards and you will see that death is not a respecter of person, amen. The only thing that is common at the graveyard really is the dash between the two dates, amen, from this date to this date. Everything else is completely different, amen. You have sizes that are different, and the dates represent all kinds of different things. You have dates that represent maybe hours, dates that represent days, amen, dates that represent weeks. Some would represent maybe months. Some would represent a few years. Some would represent, amen,
young child, say from 5 to 10 years of age, and then you get into the teenagers. And then you have the 20 years old who thought that they were living life to the fullness and finally had made it and graduated out of school, and they were graduated into adult life, and to see them cut short of that. 30s, 40s, 50s, for whatever reason, whether it's tragic accident, whether it's disease, whether it's whatever it is, it happens. It happens to all of us. And we do know that the enemy is doing his best to steal, to kill, and to destroy whoever that he possibly can. And I'm not going to be super long here this morning. I'm going to just kind of wrap it up here in a few minutes. But what I want to say is that the enemy of your soul, he understands that he doesn't have very long. And so he is going to use things to try to persuade you. Use things to try to turn you. Use things to try to cause you to not feel the unction and the importance and the urgency of the situation that is there. He will use all kinds of tactics. He will use friends from the outside to influence you, family from the outside to influence you, whatever that he can. He doesn't play fair. It doesn't matter. He doesn't play fair. However that it is, he will use them and it doesn't matter. Let's say that he uses family to try to influence you. That could be to the good or to the bad, as far as, you know, your family would be accepting to pull you in, and they're trying to woo you out of the church. And then if you stay in the church, he uses them to cut you off, and then all of a sudden you don't have family and such. And so he it doesn't matter what he's got to do to try to make this happen in your life. He's willing to pay that. He's willing to do that. If there's friends, if there's jobs, if it's finances that'll get you to pause in your walk with God and stuff, then he'll do that. If it's fame, it's fortune, then he'll do that. But if it's fear, he'll do that as well. Amen. He'll do that as well. Whatever that it is to try to get you to stop, to pull away, go into the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, and you'll see that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it. I don't see how that it's going to happen. I don't see how that it's going to come to pass. I don't know how that all of this is going to work. But it's the evidence of things not seen. It's just the substance of things hoped for. I just hope that it happens. I hope. I don't have 1 + 1 to put together to equal 2. I just hope that somewhere or another it happens. And you go back into the previous chapter, chapter number 10, verse 35, 36, and 37, and you will see there where he was writing, and he said, "But we are not of them that pull back." That pull back. And so the child of God has got to have that unction, that faith in knowing that, you know what, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm just going to walk by faith. I'm just going to walk by faith. And people don't understand that. Your family does not understand that. Your friends do not understand that. Your coworkers do not understand that. Your boss is not going to understand that. Nobody is going to understand that. Amen. They don't understand. They just don't understand. Amen. What do they understand? They understand that they're a part of a mega church that nobody has to change, and we can all drink and we can all carouse and party, and we can have filthy mouths, and we can talk about perverted things, but we're okay. We don't have to change anything. We just gotta kind of be religious on the side. We just got to have a pretense of religion, and everything is okay. And it's not biblical. And that's the lie. That is the deception that the enemy has sown and wants to even sow into the church of the living God. And how that, you know what, you need to reconsider. You don't have to go to that church, and you don't have to fight all the issues and the problems and stuff. You can come to this church, and you can have happiness and joy, and you can have more friends, and you can have this, and you can have that, and you can also be lost. You can also be lost.
Praise God. And so the enemy uses these things, and he works against us as the children of God. And he does not care how long that you've had the Holy Ghost or how short of a time that you've had the Holy Ghost. He doesn't care about much at all. And he is going to try to tell you, you know what, that's just personal. That's just opinion. And there are things that are my opinion. But if you find something that's my opinion, ask me why it's my opinion. Amen. And chances are I'm going to give you a spiritual principle behind it to tell you why it is my opinion. I'm not just one that just wants to go make a bunch of rules and regulations because that I hold a position somewhere. Amen. I understand that we got to try to make heaven our home, and we got one chance at this. And amen. Praise God. And I don't want to do the enemy's job of overbearing and overwhelming the people of God and the children of God. Amen. But nevertheless, I cannot stand upon the wall and not sound the alarm and not preach to somebody because, amen, Ezekiel 33, he said, amen, hey, watchman, I'm telling you that the sword is going to come to the land, and it's all going to be put upon your shoulders, watchman. And I just tell you right now, amen, that if you stand up and you cry aloud and you preach and you warn them of the sword that is coming, if they will hear you and if they will beckon, or if they will hearken unto you and they will listen and be obedient, then I will spare them, and they're going to be okay because that they listen. Why would you listen? It's because of the faith that you have in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, but watchmen, if you stand up there and you don't sound the alarm, amen, then the sword is still going to come, and the sword is going to kill, amen, and the blood is going to be upon your hands. But if you sound the alarm and the sword comes and kills somebody, then the blood is upon their hands. Amen. I'm just telling you, there's times, probably one of the hardest things in all of my life is to stand and to know some things and to think to myself, amen, is it right to sound the alarm now? Amen, is it right to preach it now? Amen, because there's a times that God shows things, amen, for the understanding of the minister, but it's not time to preach it, amen, lest it would kill. Go back into Hebrews where Paul was writing, and he said, hey, he said, you know, you have need of meat, and but you can't take it. All you can take is milk right now, just the milk of the Word of God right now. He said, look, you need to have meat, but if I gave you the meat that you need, it's going to kill you. And so I've got to try to bring you to a place, amen, that God can do something in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, we've got to have a preaching, amen, that would open up our eyes in the spiritual world, that we would be able to see, hey, the devil's too close to me. Hey, I understand what's going on in the Holy Ghost now, and these whisperings that I hear, I understand through the preaching that something is happening. Oh, I want God to preach to me. I want God to speak to me. God, don't let me be comfortable in your presence, amen, without the truth. Praise God. Now let's move to the second part of this. And so there is an enemy that is doing his best to wear you out. Mentally, physically, spiritually. And I think that the unique thing about Egypt was that the Lord in Hebrews begins to say that he had promised them rest. To come to a land of rest. Because that they were weary and overwhelmed. And how that the taskmasters beat them. And the Bible said that by the reason of the taskmasters, they cried out to the Lord. And they said, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us. And so God delivered them. He made them a promise to come out of that land and to enter into a land of rest. And the same is for the child of God, that you are to come out of the land of Egypt, where the enemy is doing everything that he can to wear you out and to wear you down. Amen. And that's why people contemplate suicide. It's because they just feel like there's nothing left to do. They're tired of fighting. They're tired of fighting the mental game. They're tired of fighting the physical game of acceptance. They're tired of smiling and pretending that everything is okay when everything is not okay. They're tired of hiding their emotions in the closet of their heart, and the darkness and the terror and the demons that wear against them day in and day out. And they come to a place that they don't have anything left to do, and so they take their own lives. Amen. But through the Holy Ghost, amen, Jesus begins to call, and he said that no man can come unto the Father except that his Spirit would draw them. And God begins to woo, and God begins to draw, and you'll see people that'll come into the house of God with one more opportunity that they're giving somebody. I'm going to give God a chance. I'm going to give the church a chance. Church, that's why it's so important for us, can I say it like this, to stay on top of our game. It's not a game, but I think you understand what I'm saying. We cannot afford to have an off night. We cannot afford to just go through the motions. We've got to have a move of God, because we don't know who's giving it one shot, who's going to give God one chance. I'm here today to tell you that if you'll give God a chance, you'll never regret it. God is able to do things in your life. God is able to repaint the picture of your life. God is able to help you when you feel like there is no help through this principle of rest. Praise God. Praise God. And so we see people. I'm moving quickly because I feel the Lord doing something here today. But we see people that come in, and just because that you have received the Holy Ghost, wouldn't it be just so nice if everything worked great? Wouldn't it be so nice if everything from that point was just roses down the side and roses, amen, everywhere, and everything was so beautiful and worked so great? Wouldn't it be so great, amen, if life, amen, was just so wonderful and you never had to fight anything? But it seems like when you come to the house of God and you give your life to God, it just seems like all of hell seems to turn against you, and you're right, because there is a fierceness that hell understands, and he wants to do everything that he can to try to destroy you. And you cannot be weary in well doing, for in due season you're going to reap if you faint not. But how do you avoid not being weary? You've got to get into the rest of the Holy Ghost. You've got to get into the meaning of church. You cannot just sit in a church service and go through the motion, lest you become spiritually overwhelmed. You've got to partake of the Holy Ghost. You've got to partake of the Spirit of God working in your life. Oh, Holy Ghost, help us today. Isaiah 28, he said, "This is the rest which causeth the weary to rest." Amen. And then he goes on to say, with a stammering lip and another tongue, that he would speak to his people. This is the rest which would cause the weary to rest. I'm preaching to somebody in the Holy Ghost here this morning. Let me go back and let me read the text here today. As he said, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." There is a difference, amen, in how that the word of God can affect some and not affect others. And that is that everybody hears it, but somewhere or another somebody's got to reach. And that's faith. As you begin to reach and you mix the word of God with faith, and you begin to think, you know what, I believe this is my answer. And when you do that, faith begins to step out of the pew and begins to walk down to an altar, because you believe this is the answer. And David said, in the time of trouble, amen, in the time of trouble, thou shalt hide me in your pavilion, in the secret place of your tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon the rock. Amen. What preceded that? David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemy, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should rise up against me, and my heart shall not fear. Amen. The war shall rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of rest, that I may dwell in the promise of rest. I'm not talking about four bills, four walls. I'm talking about the church, that I should dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Amen. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Why? Because in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle.
And you come running unto Jesus, and you're weary. I'm not just talking to sinners. I'm talking to saints who have been battling spiritual fatigue, who have been battling weariness in mind, mental weariness, spiritual weariness. But I need you to hear me this morning. Amen. That Jesus is calling. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus sees every hidden thought. Amen. As you lay there in the nighttime and nobody can hear, amen, your thoughts as they are running through your mind, as you begin to think, am I doing right? Did I make the right decisions? God, why is this happening to me? God, where are you? Oh, yes, that's reality. Amen. That's the enemy working on your mind, pounding on your mind, and you're too afraid to admit it. You're too afraid, amen, to voice that. And so it worries you at night, and you sit up at night thinking to yourself, oh God, what is going to happen? Where am I gone wrong? God, what is going on? I don't understand everything, God. And I feel like I'm caving in. I feel so vulnerable, God. I feel like at any moment I could throw in the towel. I feel like, God, I'm not knowing if I can last another day or another time. And God beckons you through the word of God to get into his presence. Come, 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 come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You say, it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. And God said, trust me. Trust me. And you come unto the Lord, and he pulls you into his pavilion, and he hides you, and the devil can't find you. And the devil's been constantly working and warring on your mind, amen, and tearing you down. But you responded to the word of God, and God pulls you out of that war for a little while. Yeah, you're going to have to go back, amen, but amen, God's going to be with you. But for right now, God says, I'm going to hide you right here in my pavilion. And you get into his presence, and you weep, and you weep, and you talk in tongues, and there's really no words to say. It's just emotionally, you give it all to Jesus. Let me close with this. There was a woman that did not have a good report in the city. And it seemed like
everybody would turn her down, thumb their nose at her, look in disgust at her because of her life and her story. But the Bible tells us that she ran and she came into a house where Jesus was. She came into a house where Jesus was. And the Bible says, let me go back and just state that I don't believe she came uninvited. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord bid her to come. And she was probably feeling, those Pharisees are going to scorn me and look down on me, and I'll be good just to get a few seconds. They'll probably throw me out. And she comes unto Jesus and she falls at his feet. Tired. Worn out. And she lets it all go. And she begins to weep. She begins to weep so much that she can wash his feet with her tears. And she begins to wipe them with her hair. And sure enough, the Pharisees and even the disciples look down on her and begin to murmur one to another about her. Judas thought, as she took that alabaster box and she broke it and poured it out upon him, Judas thought, this should have been sold and given to the poor. The disciples murmured one among themselves. Simon even thought to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would perceive what manner of woman this is that doeth these things to him. And Jesus, looking at her, looking at them, called their attention to her who is at his feet worshiping, who has been run ragged by the enemy. And in the book of Mark, this is how he says it. Jesus looked at all of those spectators around and he said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. There was something that was going on right there that only the connection of the Spirit could understand. Jesus understood the language that that heart was speaking that day. Jesus knew the honesty of her spirit. And Jesus looked at all of those that wanted to put their tongue on her. And he said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Because what she is doing this day shall be spoken of her for generations to come. And I just feel that there's more than one here tonight, this morning, that the Holy Ghost is bidding you to come to a place of rest. Come. And some people are wondering, what will I look like if I do that? If I go up there and I break like I feel like I'm going to break. If I go up there and I break like I feel emotionally unstable. And I feel like if I go up there, I'm going to lose it. What is everybody going to think about me? Who cares? Because Jesus is ready to hide somebody in the pavilion. And he's ready to tell everybody, leave her alone. Leave him alone. I'm opening up these altars here this morning. You need to come. The Spirit of God is bidding you to come. God has been speaking to you throughout this message, throughout this service today. God has been dealing with your heart. God's been dealing with your spirit. Things that you would say, how does that preacher know? I don't. But thank God he does. God is the one. God is the one. God is the one that's doing the drawing. God is the one that is making manifest the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God is the one that is pricking your heart right now. God is the one that is pulling you. God is the one that is making known the secrets of your mind that nobody knows about. God is the one. And today God beckons you because He desires to hide you and to tell all the spirits of hell, leave her alone. She needs this rest right now. He needs this rest right now. He needs this encouragement right now. Leave him alone. Would you put your heart in his hands? Would you put your life in his hands today? Would you cry out to him this morning? Would you let him, in the secret place of that pavilion, would you let him deal with your heart? Would you take down the defenses that you have and just let your heart melt? You say, preacher, I can't do that. I'm such an emotional mess. I'm so unstable. No, you need this. You need this. It doesn't make you any less of an individual. It doesn't make you any weaker. That's what the enemy wants to imply. Just give it to Jesus. Let Jesus take it. Let Jesus control it. Let Jesus fix it. Let Jesus help you today. Oh, Jesus. As he speaks to every spirit that is fighting against you, everything that is warring against your mind, as he speaks to every spirit of hell that tries to intimidate, overwhelm, and overcome you, the Lord is speaking here tonight. The Lord is ministering here this morning. And he's saying, leave her alone. What you have to do is you have to mix this word with faith. You have to believe. You have to believe that this is the time. You have to believe that this is the word. You have to believe that this is the moment. You have to believe that this is the time that God is using to reach you, to help you. Have you not had these thoughts? Have you not wondered about things? Have you not felt vulnerable? Have you not felt overwhelmed? Hey man, this is God talking to you today. God dealing with you. And God saying, this is the answer. You just got to mix it with faith. You just got to believe. And you've got to come. Oh God, here I am. Here I am. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of trying to make it all work. I'm tired, oh Lord Jesus, of trying to make it all fit into place. And every time I try, God, it just seems like things become more broken and more messed up and more out of whack. And God, I just need something today. God, would you help me? Would you help me? He will. He will. Just ask him to. Ask him to. He'll help you. Oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, today, 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 if you will hear His voice, today.